Bruce is here for Sports Lit 101.
I wish I had a Rising Tide. Make some good beer.
I'd take the burger too. That'd be all
take
right.
Take the burger too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this I wrote to some of the presses who traditionally have sent us books and said, you know, it's summer, we're getting the doldrums in publishing. What do you have on your new list or old list that I might consider? And our friends at Nebraska sent me a couple, as did our friends at Syracuse. I picked this book up yesterday morning just to sort of read to see what it was about, and I read the book in basically two sittings. And it's one of the most remarkable stories I missed in my life. It's called Making My Pitch, A Woman's Baseball Odyssey by Isla Jane Borders with Jean Hastings Ardell. It's not an as told to, but this is they are co-authors. Now, this is Isla Jane Borders is from Southern California, and she could always play baseball, and she could play baseball this well. She was the first woman to receive a collegiate baseball scholarship. She got to Southern California College, not USC, but a small Christian college. We'll get back to that part in a minute. The first to win a collegiate game and the first woman since the 1800s to win a professional baseball game. Now, she was playing in the Northern League. She was signed by Mike Vec, son of Bill Vec, and not as a novelty, and that's why she signed with him. But the story of Isla growing up is really a remarkable one. Her father drank too much. Her father had some other issues. And she had siblings. They did not always live well. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. But she was always a remarkable athlete, and so remarkable that she played boys' baseball. She didn't want to play softball. And her father, who'd been a semi-pro pitcher, taught her how to pitch and also taught her how to hit. She played men's semi-pro baseball in her mid-teens. I mean, and developed, she could never throw much harder than 80. Usually she was in the high 70s. So like one of her heroes, Greg Maddux, she learned to turn the ball over. She learned to change speed. She learned to hit spots. And she was very successful. The four seasons she played in the pros, she had some really good years and some not really good years, but that depended as much as anything on who you play with, you know. And she didn't stay long with Vec's team in St. Paul. He traded her to Duluth. He thought she'd get more innings, and she did. And she was just a young kid from California. Well, the other thing is she was struggling all of her life with her own sexual identity. She knew from a very early age that she was gay, but she lived in this very, very, very conservative Christian community. She went to a Christian middle school, a Christian high school, and then to this Christian college for 3 years, finally transferring to Whittier College, the alma mater of Richard Nixon, for her senior year and finding in this Quaker school a different kind of acceptance. But she would play baseball. They would throw at her head. They would hit her in the ribs. Wow. People would try and take her out on the base path. There was this sense that she was doing something she wasn't supposed to do. Why don't you play softball? Why don't you go play softball? Well, she wanted to play baseball, and the one thing her parents really encouraged her to do was stick with that dream. And the oddity of one of the oddities in the book is Jean Hastings Ardell, or Ardell, I don't know how you pronounce it. I will find that out. Saw Isla pitch in college, and it was 20 years before she got the book. Isla no longer plays baseball. She coached for a while. She's a paramedic firefighter in Portland, Oregon, or out near Portland. I don't remember if it's exactly in Portland. And that was her first job. She has had more sorrow and tragedy in her life than anybody deserves. And I really mean this seriously. She was constantly in fear of being sexually assaulted. She heard some of the, I mean, if you think Jackie Robinson heard it, and he was one of her heroes, she heard things that, you know, I would have just grabbed the first person I heard that and slap him silly. And yet she persevered because her father would say, don't show any emotion. Don't let him get to you. Get the next pitch over the plate or get it where you want it. But what this is takes you on a trip through something that we forget. Little League allowed girls to play in the 1970s. And yet there were towns that dropped out of Little League because they didn't want to let girls play. And so her first battles were to play in Little League. And she, 1 year she led her team in home runs. I mean, this girl, she was only 140 pounds when she played, but she was fairly tall. And she was always very concerned with being very feminine. So she had really long hair and she liked fitted caps. So she had to cut the fitted cap to pull her ponytail through. she was very, very concerned about not doing the wrong thing. And she had a very strong religious belief, so she kept praying that she wasn't going to be who she was. With all these things going against her, I think most people would have just quit. But she fought her way all the way to the independent league, and she pitched against former major leaguers. That league had among the people who were in it, Steve Howe for his 17,000 suspension, Daryl Strawberry, and a number of other major league, John Detmer, major league names you would know. And she was playing in this league with these guys. What's interesting is that how some of her teammates, especially usually the catcher, not always the catcher, would be right with her. They'd have her back. You know, they tried to treat her like one of the team and on the bus and everything. And then there are other people who couldn't stand being with a girl, because if they hit a home run off her, everybody says, yeah, you hit a home run off a girl. You strike out, they go, well, you got struck out by a girl. You know, and she's a young woman playing a young man's game and was very good at it. But what makes the book so compelling is there's no woe is me in this. She just really tells you the story, lays it out for you. You hurt with her. You ache with her. You cheer when things go right for her. When she wins her first professional baseball game, and that's woven throughout the book, you don't get the whole thing. It's really well done. A hell of a good book.
I look forward to reading it. Making My Pitch, it's called A Woman's Baseball Odyssey.
Yes, by Isla Jane Borders. And Isla is not like my granddaughter, ISLA. It's ILA, University of Nebraska Press. And I'm going to work really hard to see if we can get her on the show.
Very cool. And next week on Sports Lit 101, kind of a special treat. We've got author Melody Hoffman, her book, Bike Lanes Are White Lanes. And our friend Hank Garfield is going to come in, who is an avid bicyclist, a guy who does not own a car, and then gets around on that bicycle, and we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, and Hank's blog, Slower Traffic, is a great blog. You can get it right here through BDN or other places. But yeah, and Hank's going to bike to the show, because I offered him a ride, and he said, "No, that would be a little bad. I'd look a little bad. I'd lose some credibility." But yeah, Hank is has given this a lot of thought, so I think it should be a very good conversation.
And you know, I keep thinking about what you were talking about with the book on Isla Borders. Title IX was 40 plus years ago. When are we going to get to the point in America where we stop looking at men and women that differently when it comes to athletics, and not qualifying things by saying, "Yeah, she's good for a woman,"
yeah,
or it's, "Oh, they're pretty good for girls," that kind of thing. Or being shocked when women are very competitive.
Right.
When will that stop surprising some segments of the population?
You know, I really don't know. And I always think back to my experience in the ski world. You know, I would ski in the locals thing, and we'd have locals races every week. And I was in like men's four or men's three, you know, not men one or two. And I would watch the really good young women just kick my butt, right? And think, and watch and say, what am I not doing? You know? And people would say, "Oh, I don't like locals because, you know, they post all the times and I hate being beat by a girl." And I go, "You're a fat 58-year-old fool. What do you expect a 19-year-old former CVA racer is going to kick your butt?" I mean, just watch and enjoy, you know? I mean, and yeah, I'm with you. I don't get it. Maybe it's from my longtime coaching women. I just don't get it. I just celebrate people for what they can do, not what they aren't or what they don't
do. And when you hear people who will just flatly say, "Well, I don't watch," because they never say women, "I don't watch girls' sports."
Yeah, I don't watch girls' basketball. Yeah, you don't watch UConn. You don't watch UConn. You haven't seen basketball, you know?
It's strange. It takes a while. It takes a while for things to change in society, and I guess that's it. You know, it's only been a couple of generations. You would hope that change would happen more quickly. But as we've seen, even some things in society that we thought had changed perhaps have not.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Fish rots from the head down.
There you go.